Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
1 hour down, 3 to go. We got a lot to get to. I almost feel badly ignoring what's going on in Major League Baseball, but we do have the Monday night show, just one NFL game, plus we'll do a ton of preview for the postseason because it's here. October is here, you guys. And I'm excited because we're geared up. We're ready to go. I feel like we're in a nice rhythm with our football shows. It takes a few weeks to settle in, same as it does for the teams. But producer Jay and I like the show that we did last week. Felt like it was our best one, and we're trying to make it even better this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. What we would love is for you to weigh in 1 month into the NFL season. What have you learned about your team or just about the 2023 schedule so far? We obviously have some fresh teams and names and storylines who are making noise early on. Detroit Lions, anyone? I love the fact that they are sitting on top of the NFC North after beating the Packers to kick off week 4 on Thursday night. So Dolphins are 3-1 as well now. Last remaining team in the AFC that had yet to lose. That takes place on Sunday. And so you've got no more undefeateds in the AFC and just 2 remaining overall in the NFL, both coming from the NFC. But yeah, looking at the 3-1 teams, Bills and Dolphins atop the East. The Ravens, despite losing, my goodness, 4, 5, 6 different starters to injuries. It's a revolving door for them right now with the various injuries, and we'll get to their lopsided win on Sunday. In the AFC West, you have the Chiefs that are 3-1, though the Chargers have won back-to-back games as well, so it looks a lot like it did to end last season. Then getting into the NFC, mentioned the Lions at 3-1. Who thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be 3-1 after the first month? Baker's back, baby. That's one of my favorite storylines. Here's what I've learned about the NFL in the first month. Baker, he's back. And I actually like this Baker better than I did when he was in Cleveland. He's smarter, maybe a little less crazy, but probably not. He's smarter. He's more mature. He's a better leader. And I just think he's figured out a little better how to channel his emotions and make those emotions work for him instead of allowing those emotions to dominate him and cause him to make really stupid decisions, which as an emotional girl, I can say I did a lot of when I was younger, and it's not as though I'm immune to it now, but it is a maturing process. And I love what the Buccaneers have quietly done around Baker. Now, Mike Evans is a big question mark. He was hurt with a hamstring on Sunday, so we'll wait to hear. I don't remember exactly when he left the game. Sometime in the first half, I think, late first half, but he did not return, and so that's a problem. But the Buccaneers are 3-1. In the NFC Beast, we've got the Eagles at 4-0. What a battle against the Commanders on Sunday. We'll get to that one. The Cowboys are 3-1, and we'll talk about them here momentarily. And so there are some surprises. There are some fresh faces, some fresh storylines. I mean, heck, if the Niners can get all the way through one season, an entire season with a single quarterback, that in and of itself is a storyline, is an aberration. So what have you learned about your team or about the NFL season through the first month? Cracks me up that we've already had one Smarty Pants write to us on Facebook and say, I've learned nothing. Well, I've learned plenty. I guess that means you knew far more about the season and football coming in than I did. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page, easy to find the show. Also on our YouTube channel, my mom's response after watching the two Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle videos. Are you ready for this, Jay? Poor Bob. That's what my mom said.
Poor Bob.
Poor Bob. I'm like, poor Bob? What does that mean? Oh, yeah. Well, I'll explain, but not right now. That's a tease. Why my mom feels so badly for Bob. If you have not yet watched the videos, they're available on our YouTube channel. Last two videos posted, all of your wedding questions answered in a manner of speaking. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. All right, let's talk about this Dolphins-Bills game. I'm not sure the Bills defense could play a whole lot better, and that certainly makes the pressure and the load on the offense a little bit lighter. But really impressive, of course, to see Josh Allen account for 5 total touchdowns, to see Stephon Diggs have 3, to see the team go 5-for-6 in the red zone. Yeah, it was all working for the Bills at a time when they needed it most to establish themselves, or I wouldn't say, let me take that back, to reestablish themselves as the team to beat in the AFC East, or to at least indicate they're nowhere close to giving up that division crown.
Dorsey had a heck of a game plan, and our guys went out there and did it, you know, and Stephon Diggs, you know, taking a stop route, essentially, and making 2 guys miss and taking it 50, like, that's huge for us. You know, we haven't had a whole bunch of that in the first couple weeks, but getting some Rat going, getting some, you know, Dalton and Gabe going, you know, I still think we have more. You know, we're going to have to learn from a lot from this tape and find ways to get better. But we left a lot out there, and you know, we'll focus on correcting those things.
We had talked about it during the week, you know, trying to capitalize. I feel like, you know, in a game, things show up kind of a little different. So being on the same page with Josh is crucial, especially in those moments in the red zone. So capitalizing in the red zone has been a big thing for us, as Mitch knows. So, you know, I try not to make it more than what it was, but it's cool there.
Definitely impressive to go 5-for-6 in the red zone. As for the defense, holding the Dolphins. Now, remember, the Dolphins had 70 points last week. Holding the Dolphins to 3 of 10 on third down and 0-for-3 on fourth down. Those are some really impressive numbers for the Bills. But more than that, they hit Tua and they sacked Tua more than he had been sacked and hit in the previous 3 games combined. He had not felt this kind of pressure. He had not seen that many dudes in his face. He had not felt the ground that often in the first 3 games. 4 sacks of Tua. So a huge deal for the Bills to be able to get to him and to move him around and to put hands in his face and to not allow him to be comfortable. How often had we seen Tua in the first 3 weeks of the season just sit back there and wait until Tyreek Hill ran across the field twice, until Jalen Waddle got open, until he could see what else was happening? Yeah, football's a hell of a lot easier if you have time enough to bake cookies in the pocket while you're waiting for your offense to run its routes and to go through its various possibilities. I mean, you can go through your progressions twice with the time that Tua had in the pocket in the first 3 games, but not against the Buffalo Bills. So big deal for them on defense, though it does come with a cost. An emotional third quarter moment where Tre'Davious White is tracking a Dolphin and you could see him. He pulls up. Oh my gosh, I'm watching it right now. It just flashed up on the NFL Network. He pulls up behind a receiver and starts hopping around on his left foot and clearly feels something go horribly wrong on his right. And after the game, Sean McDermott, the Bills, confirming that they're worried about his Achilles.
You just wonder why. Because you watch him, how hard he's worked to get back. And, yeah, you know, I know he's a man of faith, and I know how strong he is. And, you know, he will rebound.
I kind of learned from when it comes to taking care of my body was watching him. So to see him go out like that, it's heartbreaking, and it brings a tear because you just know this guy's been sacrificing everything to be healthy.
Gabe Davis and Sean McDermott on watching Tre'Davious White go down and the questions that come with that. Why? This is not fair. And that is so true. Life is not fair, whether we're talking about sports and injuries, whether we're talking about anything, really. I'm not sure if you all saw this. I did share it on my social, but it was a moment that hit me in the face. I had no idea, maybe because I missed it. I'm not sure if the Wakefield family ever put it out there, but Tim Wakefield, longtime pitcher and World Series champion for the Boston Red Sox, the knuckleballer who confounded hitters for years, he passed away this weekend. I didn't realize that he was struggling with brain cancer. I didn't know he'd been diagnosed. Again, that may be my mistake that I missed it. But a real poignant message from the Boston Red Sox in announcing the loss of Tim Wakefield at 57 years old. He was so much more than a pitcher. And before I made the jump to network radio, I covered those Boston Red Sox, including the 04 team. Went to spring training, went to the majority of their home games at Fenway Park, followed them into the postseason. It was a real good exercise for me as a reporter. I was working in local radio at the time, and Tim Wakefield was on that team and had a chance to observe his professionalism. When there were so many antics in the clubhouse, in the locker room, he was always just taking care of his business. He was respectful, and he did his job. I mean, he at times could be gruff because he didn't go easy on himself when he pitched poorly. And I remember that being a real thing with him. His mood and his attitude changed so much when he felt like he let his team down. But he was a broadcaster. He was a husband. He was a dad. He was a community leader. Really, when it came to the Red Sox, wanted to be on the forefront of making a difference, and he did that. So thinking about his family, and I know this has nothing to do with football, but as I was talking about life not being fair, Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager, dedicated the game on Sunday to Tim Wakefield.
A sad day for us, sad day for the organization, and you know, I'm glad that we went out there and we play a clean game. We pitch well. You know, we kind of like represented Wake today.
If you haven't seen it, again, I'll retweet it here, but the Red Sox put out a poignant message, but one that they believe honors their longtime pitcher and a World Series champion. You can see it on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So yeah, talking about life being unfair when it comes to these injuries, these setbacks, and Tre'Davious White, he's battled injuries a bunch, and so to see him go down again, really the tough part of that Sunday victory for the Bills, but otherwise they were overwhelming in their victory against the Dolphins, and I think in making a big statement too. And as for Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa, yeah, not every game are you going to score 70 points.
It's the National Football League. You play one of the best teams in the National Football League. You better not have that part of your game, otherwise you'll learn the hard way, which is what we did today.
You lose in a manner like this, and it's very humbling, and it's you know, for some it's much needed.
48-20 the final score. So the Bills didn't have quite as many points as the Dolphins did last week in their 50 point rout of the Broncos, but they end up giving up 48 points, and they are really unable to find a whole lot of momentum in the second half other than their opening drive to start that third quarter. The Bills were a juggernaut. They were a freight train, and they right now are still the team to beat in the AFC East. Speaking of that division, let's just remind you where it stands right now. You've got Bills and Dolphins at 3-1, though the Bills have the early edge in terms of tiebreak. Now, that will change. Potentially, they will play each other again later in the season. The Jets fall to 1-3. We talked about that game at MetLife Stadium on Sunday night. It was the return of Aaron Rodgers, and Zach Wilson did put on a show for most of it. But then we're going to talk about the Patriots, who were on the road at the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. And you want to talk about defense flexing its muscles. The Dallas D is back.
Smith-Schuster in motion, right back left. Jones play action, chased out of the pocket, hit, sack, fumble. Van Der Esch has it to the 5 and runs it in. Second and 10, Jones is back plenty of time. Rolls right, bottled up, throws back to the end, intercepted. Deron Bland, call the house. Hello, house? House, it's me, Deron. Hello, house. Touchdown for Deron Bland.
Brad Sham and the crowd goes wild there at AT&T Stadium.
Oh, house?
It was a raucous house, to be sure. Mac Jones sacked on the 6-yard line. He fumbles, and Leighton Van Der Esch scoops it up, recovers for the touchdown. Then you've got, as if to add insult to injury, you've got the fake on the point after attempt, and the Cowboys go in for 2. They decide they're going to pile on before the Patriots can ever get to the halftime locker room. Jones throws an interception at midfield. Deron Bland picks it off, returns it 46 yards for the
house,
score.
House, it's me, Deron. Hello, house.
Oh, hello, house. It's me, Deron. I'm going to need you to open that door yet again. Bland's second interception is early in the third quarter, and then right on the heels of that, so the Patriots have another turnover courtesy of Mac Jones and Deron Bland. They come back out on the field, and they promptly go 3-and-out. And that's when Bill Belichick benched Mac Jones for Bailey Zappi. So it was 31-3 after the third quarter, and that's when Bill Belichick decided he had seen enough. So why, Bill? Why?
I didn't think there was any point leaving him out there, so I took him out. I just said we didn't do anything well enough as a team. So that includes everybody. Coaches, players, offense, defense, special teams. So it wasn't anything that was good enough.
Belichick attempting to point out this was not all on Mac Jones, and it definitely was not. However, with 3 turnovers and Jones getting benched, you see him standing on the sidelines with his helmet on. He wouldn't take it off. It reminded me of Brock Purdy when he got injured in the NFC Championship last year, and he would not take his helmet off just in case Bill Belichick changed his mind. Also, he was just ticked. Mac was ticked at himself, ticked at the way that they were playing, but had a chance to stand there and watch and think about the fact that he may not be starting next week.
I think it'll be a good test just for me, just trying to stay focused on what I can control, and that's playing better. So just got to evaluate everything, and it wasn't my day today. Hopefully there's better days ahead.
He was responsible for all 3 turnovers, but an extra element to this is the worst loss of Bill Belichick's coaching career. 29 seasons, worst loss. 35-point deficit for the Patriots. And by the way, he's on the cusp of 300 regular season wins, but it'll have to wait.
We don't have time for that.
So how can this offense find a spark moving forward, Mac?
Bury it, try to learn from it, and move on, and just don't make it turn into another loss. You know, my rookie year didn't start off great, and we just kept working, and I just tried to play better, and that's what I have to do here, and it's got to be a lot better by me.
So this was an overwhelming effort by the Dallas defense. What I've seen on social is that Belichick does plan to return to Mac Jones in week number 5. But yeah, there was certainly nothing else to be gained by him being out there on the field. It reminded me a little bit of a hockey goalie getting pulled after he gives up 4 or 5 goals. And what else is the point of leaving him out there to be embarrassed? It was not his day, as Mac Jones said. It was definitely a banner day for Micah Parsons, who was, I guess, got stepped on and off the field, getting rewrapped, a little bit of limping, people freaking out. But he says this is what the Dallas D is capable of.
It's all about the bounce back. Not when things hit you in the face. It's all about adversity, coming back after it. I think that's where true champions is better at. You know, anybody can come in and win games. But once you face adversity, I think when you look at man's eyes and say, are we going to get better? How are we going to overcome this? And, you know, adversity makes true champions.
Defense really, you know, really set the table, you know, with the takeaways and the field position. So, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, it's, I mean, weeks one and two is, you know, the performance was very similar. So I thought our defense was really got right back on track this week.
Mike McCarthy and the defense sparking this rally after what we saw in the desert, right? When Arizona scored on every possession of the first half. And I know Dan Quinn probably felt the heat this week, certainly puts heat on himself because didn't love how the defense responded. They had lost Trayvon Diggs, so that was a big deal. But by the way, Deron Bland is the one who moved over and stepped in for Diggs, so big performance for him. Now, as for the offense, didn't have to do a whole lot. And here's one thing that still stands out about the Cowboys offense. They're not taking advantage of their opportunities in the red zone. Just 1 for 4, even in this blowout win Sunday.
Something we've got to get better at. But we went 38-3, so I'm not going to sit here and harp on that. But that definitely gives us something to work on. Obviously, coming into this game, I talked about it, about 2 weeks ago, even when we won the game, the last game here right against New York, that we could have been better in the red zone. So it's an area that we're going to continue to focus on. We're going to try to get better at it. And when we do, it's going to be dangerous.
I like it. I like what Micah Parsons had to say. Adversity makes true champions, and the optimism and the determination of Dak Prescott as the leader of the offense, that they are going to change it. They are going to continue working on it. They are going to push through until they change it, and then they're going to be dangerous. Of course, they are not on top of the NFC East. That would be the Eagles, who have yet to lose. And how about the performance of the Niners in staying perfect? We'll talk about Christian McCaffrey, and you want to talk about near perfect. Brock Purdy, he is steady Eddie. Man, I hope that we get to see this guy all the way through the season. I hope that he does not get injured, because his brand of football, it's calm, of course. It's steady. It's reliable. It actually feels a lot more like an elder statesman of a quarterback. You know, a quarterback, well, all pro athletes, they'll lose a step, they'll lose some speed, they'll lose some explosiveness, but they have the experience. Old man golf, have you ever played golf with an older dude? He just steps up every single time, addresses the ball the same way, hits it the same distance down the fairway. Doesn't matter what club he's using, it's boring as heck. Well, I'm not saying Brock Purdy's game is boring, because it's definitely not, but the steadiness of it, old reliable. I mean, he's Old Faithful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second down, goal, 1 yard line. 49ers looking to score first here. Purdy goes under center. McCaffrey, the lone back. Debo, tight left. They stack. Willie Snead and Ayuk right, coming in motion. Debo, Purdy, and a handoff to McCaffrey. Walks in the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco! McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk. A block there. Hurdles a man. 10-5. Touchdown, CMC! Play action by Purdy. Looks bunt side. Comes back left. Throws. McCaffrey will roll it right down to the goal line. Touchdown, CMC. McCaffrey's already got 3 touchdowns. They put him into a pistol behind Purdy. Debo is right. 3 are left. They give it to McCaffrey off the left side. 1, 2, 3, 4. Touchdown, CMC.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, there is a reason why Christian McCaffrey is the NFL's highest paid running back. It's something around $16 million per season. When he is healthy, and right now he is fire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk about Brock Purdy and the steady Eddie that he is becoming. But when you have weapons around you like Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk back on the field and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, we've talked about it. You don't have to do anything spectacular. You just have to make sure you give the ball to the guys who can be spectacular. And that certainly applies to Christian McCaffrey. But I appreciate his humility as well. He goes 177 total yards, 4 touchdowns.
In this offense, there's so many guys who are dynamic with the ball. You know, the first and second read are typically open when you have a great route runners who can catch, and you have a tight end who can do everything you want him to do, and you have a fullback who can do anything you want. So it's, you know, if you don't get to that third, fourth read, and you have a play caller who sets it up to be like that. So, and then a quarterback, obviously, who's phenomenal. But some games, he just works out that way. Some games, it doesn't. It just, you just got to be ready for when the ball is thrown to you.
Yeah, he's a freak. He does everything for us, obviously. Can run the ball, can run routes out of the backfield, can line up as a receiver and run routes. He does everything, man. So we're thankful for him. He's a dog. He takes, you know, some hits. But, man, he just keeps going, and all you got to do is get the ball to that guy in space, and he does the rest.
You know he's that good of a player just watching him and stuff. I mean, I think the whole league does. But then when you get someone, or when you're around him personally, then you realize how much better he is just because of the intangibles that he has and really his whole makeup and how he works each week and how he prepares for a season from what he's been doing with us and OTAs all the way till now.
There's a lot of leadership there with Christian McCaffrey, and I do believe there is an element of the leadership with the veterans, including Christian, who shares the backfield with Brock Purdy, that also made this a smoother transition from Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock and made it easier on Brock, right? Now, it's his personality that he is doing what the coaches are telling him to do, that he's out there processing, that the game slows down for him, that he's not trying to force it, he's not trying to be the superhero. That's not Brock Purdy. Let Christian McCaffrey be the superhero. But the fact that he has a Christian in the backfield with him and other guys who will kind of take the heat and who have that experience, I think that's so valuable and can't be overlooked. It really is the perfect combo. And Brock Purdy was nearly perfect. 20 of 21 was his passing ratio on Sunday against the Cardinals.
I mean, everyone just did their job. We sort of kept it simple. I feel like the quick game stuff, you know, was on point early on. It sort of got us into a rhythm. And then once we had opportunities to take shots down the field with B.A., we were able to connect. It was huge today to be able to do that. So, you know, outside of that, Kyle called a great game. Obviously, the run game, I feel like, opened up some stuff too. And, you know, everyone was on point. Everyone was just very, like I said, like detailed.
The Niners moved to 4-0 along with the Eagles' last two undefeated teams. But it is worth pointing out that once again, Josh Dobbs showed some great flashes. The Cardinals were trailing big time by 3 touchdowns, and then they kind of grabbed momentum with a couple of lengthy drives before and after halftime. I don't know if the San Francisco defense let its foot off the gas. Sometimes you kind of get lost in that because you know how badly you're supposed to beat your opponent, and you build this big lead and you can sit around and just watch CMC highlights. But the Cardinals drove 87 yards and 99 yards, and Josh Dobbs himself, when he is playing within his means, right? When he's just being smart with the football and taking care of the football and also following game plan, he's a serviceable quarterback too. And this was a great pickup for the Cardinals. The fact that he's been with the team for a month and yet he is able to execute what they're asking him to do. So they do pull within 5 of the Niners late in the third quarter. But then you see the Niners again. They respond. They're steady. McCaffrey's 4th touchdown puts it out of reach. So I love what we've seen from the Niners to start. And again, it's a story if they go all the way through this season with just one quarterback. I hope they do. We're starting to see really what they're capable of when they have that consistency at QB. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Cardinals fall to 1-3, and we'll see what the Seahawks do on Monday night. I actually have friends who are going to the game at MetLife Stadium. So back-to-back nights where MetLife is decorated and lit up under the lights. Friends that do not go by the name Producer Jay, he's also going to the game on Monday night. So he will not be with us come this time tomorrow. But the Niners are at 4-0. The Seahawks can move to 3-1, or the Giants can get back into the fray in the NFC East. We will talk about the Rams coming up next, because Matthew Stafford, man, sometimes I think he might be part metal. I mean, he breaks and he hurts, but the other parts of him, he might be a transformer. That guy at 35 years old, it's his grit and his determination that are more impressive even than the way he flings the football, which considering his connection with Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams, yeah, he's found some new life there as well. So Rams and Colts go into overtime, and that'll kind of wrap up our look at the NFC West. We're going to look at the AFC West too, because there was history between the Chargers and the Raiders, and where is Jimmy G now? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What have you learned in the first month of the NFL season? And what has the first month told you about your team? On Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's also where you'll find our Monday MVP poll, as we get to it later in the show. Then our Facebook page as well. Good to connect with you guys. I hope you had a great weekend. Happy October.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Shotgun snap, gun run, handoff, Kyren Williams back in Indiana and back in the end zone. The former Notre Dame Fighting Irish tailback finds pay dirt here on the opening drive in Indianapolis. 6-0 Rams, touchdown LA. Gun run back to Kyren, straight ahead, picking his way through traffic, and he spikes another touchdown. Touchdown Kyren Williams, touchdown LA.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
It is cool to see the connection that Matthew Stafford has with these young targets, these young members of the offense, even though his wife Kelly says that he was maybe needing name tags, and that it's a little bit like strange feeling, strange locker room for him, like this different atmosphere because it's a rebuild and there's so many young guys that are half his age, yada, yada, yada. But Matthew Stafford is a leader, and sometimes what's required is that you figure it out. You figure out how to communicate with people that are on your team, whatever that team is, football, basketball, corporate boardroom, whatever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, Kyren Williams is one of his new favorite targets. And LA was up 23-0 early in the third quarter. They're able to get points on their first four drives. And Kyren Williams with a pair of three-yard touchdown runs as they were building that lead to go along with several field goals. Now, maybe they end up ruining the fact that they leave points out there on the board because they didn't take advantage of the extra opportunities and get into the end zone and instead settle for the field goals. But 23-0, you think you're okay, especially when you're playing a team with a rookie quarterback, right? Because Anthony Richardson, he was back for Indianapolis. Now, he throws a dart to Mo Alie-Cox for a 35-yard touchdown, and that really is the spark for the Colts. Then Stafford has an interception, and there's a second missed field goal there for the Rams, and all of a sudden, this win that looked like a sure thing was not such a sure thing. It was a pair of fourth quarter touchdown drives for the Colts, because they're not just out there giving their rookie quarterback some reps. Nah, they're actually out there trying to pick up some wins.
Richardson throws it upfield, caught by Andrew Ogletree. He's in! Touchdown! INDY! Touchdown for Andrew Ogletree, his first receiving score in the NFL, and it's 23-21. Richardson out of the gun. In motion again is Pittman left. Shotgun snap. Richardson angling right, throws to a wide open Michael Pittman, and the 2-point conversion is good. We are tied We are tied. The game is knotted up at 23 with under 2 minutes to go.
The call's there with Matt Taylor on the Colts Radio Network. Drew Ogletree has the 5-yard touchdown, and then that 2-point conversion ties it inside of the 2-minute warning. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And one of the areas where you can count on a veteran QB like Matthew Stafford to outplay or to outperform, I should say, a rookie counterpart is the experience. That's what he brings to the table. And no matter how much of a steady personality, calm personality, clutch personality you have, even under fire like a Brock Purdy, there is no shortcut to experience. And so the Rams get the ball first, and they are determined not to give it up. Now, just as a side note, I wonder if Matthew Stafford wanted this game to get over as quickly as possible on the first possession of overtime because he was in a whole lot of pain.
Third down, 4. Rams are at the 22. They're looking for the 18 for a fresh set of downs. 5:55 on a stopped overtime clock. Stafford ready, calls for the snap. Here comes the rush. He throws right side alone. It's Puka at the 5 to the end zone. A walk-off winner. Puka Nacua in overtime. 22 yards to get the Rams to 2-2. Maurice Jones-Drew, sing it with me as Nacua flings it into the stands. Nacua Matata. It means no worries. For the rest of today, it's a problem-free Rams victory, 29-23 in OT.
The video game, you keep pausing when you lose, so you make sure that you can get the right play at the very end. It was sweet. I don't know. I can't wait. I already called my mom and all my siblings and just constant screaming. I think I screamed for like 10 minutes straight out there.
I just love the youthful jubilance and the fact that he continues to rack up not just receptions, but yards. Seeing the highlights on TV in front of me, man, you throw anything out there and Puka Nacua can catch it.
I love Puka Nacua.
And so you've got the combination of 35-year-old Matthew Stafford, who's got some metal body parts because of everything he's been through. But then you combine it with this guy who, like a Cooper Kupp, can do anything that you ask of him. And that is the question, right? Once Cooper returns, how do they divvy up these receptions and these targets? But honestly, that's a good problem to have. So the young Rams and Matthew Stafford down the field for the game-winning drive. And not only does Nacua have the 22-yard score, but he also has the 20-yard catch to jumpstart that drive. So early and often and reliable. He's screaming on the phone with his family, his siblings, because he's so jubilant, because he's so excited, because it's all new to him. And I love that. Love that's a great element for the Rams to have. But as for Matthew Stafford, he was out there hobbling. There were a couple of times where he actually fell over. No one touching him simply because he's in so much pain with what is the hip injury.
You know, you definitely want to be out there. Defense is playing as good as they're playing. We're staying in the game, got a chance to win it. Nobody's happy-go-lucky sitting over there on the sideline, when we're not executing the way that we can.
He actually said that the hardest part for him was, and I don't know what he means by this exactly, but he knows what he means, was kind of shutting down the leg a little bit to where you'd step and push, and it was a normal leg, and then it was a step and push and not normal. I have no idea what that means, really, except that maybe on one step it felt okay, and the next step it didn't. So you'd be able to kind of block out the pain, and you'd go through a couple of snaps where it felt like okay, and then you'd have one step and a push where you realized it was not okay, and all of a sudden those muscles remind you that all is not right with the world. He actually said the muscles were kind of shutting down, but I just kept going. I knew it was going to be one of those things that was pain and function. So as long as I could keep going on the sideline, I was going to stay in there. Yeah, that's Matthew Stafford. RoboCop or Transformer or something along those lines.
If you don't root for this guy, something's wrong with you.
Something is definitely wrong with you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about quarterbacks who were injured or who were dealing with injuries, we did not see Jimmy Garoppolo. He's in concussion protocol. And we did not see Deshaun Watson. He was declared out with a shoulder injury on Sunday. Kenny Pickett started the game, but he was not in there at the end as the Steelers were in Houston.
Steelers trailing by 10. Pickett goes shotgun with trips flexed right. That's the wide side. Pickett gets the snap. Four-man rush. He's back. Chased out of the pocket. He's hit, and down he goes at the 42-yard line on the sack by Jonathan Greenard. And Pickett is hurt, grabbing his left knee.
Oh, man. Yeah, he did. Oh, my.
Bill Hillgrove on Steelers radio. And this is a moment that's got a lot of Steelers fans, I'm sure, holding their collective breath. I wouldn't say he's started out in any way that would indicate that he's the franchise quarterback and the hope of the future, la, la, la. But what I would say about Kenny Pickett is that he's gutsy and he's gritty, and the seeds have definitely been planted with him. And the speculation is potentially an MCL. Don't really know a whole lot except that he will end up with an MRI on Monday. Mitch Trubisky goes in then. Remember, it was Mitch who started the season in 22. They only had 18 passing yards the entire fourth quarter. And so this is a tough situation for not just the offense, but also the Steelers as a whole.
We're going to prepare like we always do. Obviously, hate to see him go down like that. But you got to stay ready on the sideline. So not how we wanted to finish the game there, not how we wanted the game to go at all. But we got to flush it, get back to work, and go get another one this week.
We'll talk more about the Texans side of that game, because it's certainly important that they've won two in a row, and that the steadiness is there for that rookie quarterback, right? And so they're starting to make strides among the rookie quarterbacks. The Houston Texans are definitely making some noise. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh, yeah. It's made with titanium, and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
I'm here to tell you about Pom-Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom-Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom-Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
I'm Eli Roth, and the upcoming second season of my podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life from Travel, you'll hear real horrifying accounts from actual victims who came face to face with a paranormal and survived.
It was the shape of a small human, and it was pure blackness, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
A ghost? You saw a ghost?
Yeah, I did.
Listen to A Ghost Ruined My Life with Eli Roth from Travel wherever you get your podcasts, and prepare to be terrified.
Ah, the satisfying sounds of more sales in your business. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. But you shouldn't have to pay more to scale your business. With Stamps.com, you can import orders from wherever you sell online, find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times, and instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers and stock up on supplies. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.